Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you that you are the great I am, that you are amazing, that you really are larger than we could comprehend. And God, I pray that as we end 2019, as we start 2020, Lord, as we begin this next season of our lives, God, that you would fill us right now with hope. God, that you would awaken joy and love in our hearts. And God, that you would center us in you as we take steps forward, Lord, in our lives. And I just pray for this time as we discuss and we talk, Lord, that you would free us all up to see more clearly where you're leading all of us, God, in our lives, together as a family, individually, Lord. And God, we thank you that you are good and that you show up in ways that we don't always recognize. And God, we want to have eyes to see what you're doing and ears to hear and hearts, Lord God, that connect with you. And we thank you that you have made us alive in you, that we have life and life abundantly because of you. Thank you, Lord. We're gonna start in Galatians. I've got several different things we're gonna do as we're kind of ending, kind of. That's a really weak way to say it, but as we're ending this year and starting a new one, it's not kind of ending; it is ending. And don't worry, we're not setting, New Year's resolutions and all of that stuff. I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions. I think they end up ending very quickly. But we are going to reflect on this past year. But I want to start with going to Galatians 5. And we're going to be reading verse 22 through 23. So Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. And I love the way this version reads with this, because I think it's really important for us to understand that this is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but the way that this words it is more closely connected with the original. So it says, "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love." So that is the fruit in all its varied expressions. So these other things are actually not the fruit. They're the expressions of the love, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit being inside of us. So I'm going to read that again. "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit." I'm going to read that again. "These varied expressions of divine love," which is, that's the fruit. And how it expresses itself is joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. And I think oftentimes we take this list and we compartmentalize it and we split it all apart. And we say that, like, I want all of those different fruits, and so we're seeking after those, but those are all expressions of love. Really, our focus is love. Really, our pursuit is love. Love with him and receiving love from him. And when we are grounded in him, there are these expressions that come out. And so not that those aren't negative things to focus on, but I think sometimes we look at those. Okay, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Well, no, that's an expression. Love is fruit. Love is the fruit. And how we live our lives. For me, the last, I would say probably, I don't know, what would you say, 3 months? 2-3 months have not been just great for me in my head and in my heart. And I think for me, it really went to a place of a feeling really depressed and disconnected, I think, from who I am, which I don't know if that makes sense, but not feeling myself. And a lot of it, you know, different circumstances or work or whatever, you know, seasonal and all these different things. But I feel like this was the heaviest probably beginning of winter for me that I've really experienced. And trying, not sure why, and trying to put my finger on it and knowing that there was something more and something that I needed to work through, but not sure where to start, if that makes sense. And just really feeling like unmotivated to do things, not really wanting to be around people, being pretty overwhelmed at times, knowing that there was good in my life. And so for me, I don't know, those of you who see me posting on Facebook and stuff, like when I did November, like 30 days of thankfulness, was really because I needed to shift my focus. I needed to see what was good in my life. And it helped some, but there was still a blockage there. And I was really getting to a place where, like, okay, like, have you ever felt that place of, I know that I just need to spend time with God, but I'm avoiding it, right? Like, I just need to quiet myself and just be with him, and yet I don't know why I don't want to, because I know that there's always good that comes from it, right? And Christmas morning, I woke up and had these ideas, like, let me back up a little bit. So Christmas Eve, my mom and I went to a Christmas Eve service to the church, the other church that she goes to. And this is a church that I grew up in. And I've known a lot of these people in this church since I was 10. So, I mean, that's 29 years of history, which is pretty crazy. And being there, like, there was a part of me that really didn't want to go. I didn't want to be around a lot of people. I just kind of wanted to, like, it was with my family. It was great. We had an amazing Christmas Eve. Had a great time with family and baked and, you know, made quiche for our family and stuff. And it was great. And a lot of joy. So I'm not saying, like, during this season, like, it was only depression, you know, that I felt. But I know that I was really struggling with just feeling this weight and just feeling this lack of motivation. I would feel anxious. And going through just kind of this range of emotions that, though I felt at times, I feel like I was under this weight of it. And so Christmas Eve, like, we went, and as I was there, one of the things that I felt like God said to me was, I'm bigger than all of it. I'm bigger than all of it. I'm bigger than all the stuff that's going on with the people that you care about, all the stuff that's going on in this world. I'm bigger than all of that. I was like, okay, you know, and while I was there, there's a lady there that I grew up with. Her father was in charge of the youth group. And so I've known his daughter since I started youth group at like 13. And she was a youth leader at that time. And just really pivotal in who I have grown to be. She helped me through a lot of stuff, you know, through my teenage years. And she was always there for me. But she had such this really intimate passion, you know, for and relationship with Jesus. And I looked over, and I didn't know that they were going to be there, because she like, sings and helps with worship, and she wasn't. But anyway, I looked over, and she was there, and there's a point to this story. And so I walked over to her, and I haven't seen her for probably 4 or 5 years, I think, since her father's planted a church, and then it ended probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. Anyway, so I just went up to her and I just said, you know, I don't know if I've told you this, but I wanted to say thank you for who you were in my life. And I said, I looked up to you so much, and you really were pivotal in me becoming who I am. And I just felt like you know, I just wanted you to know that. And she gave me a big hug. She said, I really needed to hear that today. But I needed to say that as well, because I needed to plant myself in the reality. When you go, a lot of us have gone through dark seasons, right? And sometimes we don't even know exactly why we're going through something, but to plant myself in, like, whoa, who am I? And I feel like it was something that God was showing me, is like, who are you now? Look who I've brought you. Look where I've brought you from to who I've made you to be now. Does that make sense? And I was, so, like, all these just little things were kind of, like, you know, coming together. And I remember leaving my mom. I was taking her back home, and I was just like, it was really needed for me. You know, this being somewhere, because I didn't want to do small talk with a bunch of people I haven't seen for years. You know, like I was like, okay, I'm going to go. I want to go with my mom. But like, I really didn't want to be there. And when I was there, like, I just felt like God, just like, be present, you know, just be present. And it was really great. And just seeing people and giving people hugs. And so I had all these plans for, you know, Christmas morning. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll go work out before I got to my parents' house at 11. And I had all these other ideas. And I woke up and I was like, no, I just kind of had a chill morning. And I was like, I kind of want to play guitar. I'm going to pull up some Christmas music. And so I sorry, but you know, there's a place for it. She hates Christmas music. Sorry, this is my story. And so I pulled up a few songs and I started playing them. And then I started just praying and really crying out to God. Like, God, I don't want to stay in this place of feeling heavy. I don't want to stay where I am right now. I know that there's something more. I know that there's something greater. Instead of just continuing with music, I just felt like I'm just going to put my guitar aside, and I kept praying, and I felt like making some exchanges. And so those of you who have been through like our encounter weekends, one of the things that we do, and we've done it here on Sundays too, is making these exchanges. And I said, you know, I give you this feeling of depression, and I receive joy, and I give you this feeling of anxiety, and I receive peace. And I just was saying these things out, and though I lead people through that kind of stuff, to do it for yourself, I battle it. You know, like sometimes I'm stubborn, you know, I'm like, no, you know, I'm okay. Like it's fine. But I just realized like I wasn't breaking out of where I was feeling. And I kept playing, and I rarely put on worship music on my phone. And I just don't. And so but I just felt like I was supposed to put on the song, No Longer a Slave from Bethel. And so I put it on, and I started feeling really at peace in God's presence. And I was just laying on my back on the ground, and from this really deep place, like really, really deep place, I started laughing. And it was like, it wasn't just like, haha, it was like this like deep, like belly laugh that just started coming. Mm-hmm. And this place that God, I believe, was healing and changing and bringing joy. And one of the things that I had thought as well, I think it was Christmas Eve, a thought came to me like, my joy is not contingent upon how I physically feel or my circumstances. And I kept kind of thinking that, like, my joy is not contingent upon how I feel or my circumstances. Like, my joy is based on who I am in Him. And I remember saying that to you when you were going back to your, you know, taking you back home. And so in that, there was just this, like, this freedom that came, and just saying, like, I know who I am, God, in You. And I just kept laughing, and it would kind of like stop, and then it would start again. And this has happened to me a few different times throughout my life. But I know it's not me, because I can't force myself to just like laugh like uncontrollably. Like I just can't, you know, there's like a handful of times where it's like been this like deep laugh, like with friends, you know, when you laugh so hard that you start to like, you know, cry. Like that's how deep the laughter was. And it was, and God was saying like, it doesn't matter how you feel physically. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. That's not where your joy comes from. Your joy comes from Me, period. And this in Galatians saying that joy overflows, right? And so that's an expression of love. And when we know who we are in Him, that's where our joy comes from. And love joy in this place is also, the definition is grace recognized. So understanding our grace, understanding the love He has for us, that's where our joy comes from. It's knowing who we are in Him. And what is grace? Grace is saying like, we get to have a relationship with Him, not because we earn it or deserve it, but just because of who He is, right? That's love. True love is a gift, right? And it's a gift that He's given to us. So as I was processing through all of that, saying like, I'm choosing joy. You know, I may not always feel great physically. I may not always, there's still a lot going on in the world. I may feel sad. It's not that, but I can still have joy because I know that He is bigger than all that. He is victorious. And there was a shift that took place that morning. And I believe that it was starting like a few days before that, but a shift that took place. And I've just been at so much more peace in just me and just thinking about Him more. And like, I went on a walk today before church and just praying and praying in the Spirit, and There was something that came, but there's a beauty that happens when we put ourselves in His presence and we humble ourselves and say, God, I need You. You know, and I don't say this to like say like there's anything greater about me or that, you know, I mean, I know God loves me a lot, but He loves all of us. And there's an important place, you know. One of the things that Aaron in some of his songs is like, you know, how do the words go? Like in the quiet place. That was one of the songs you sing, right? I'll find you. I'll find you in the quiet place. I'll search for you beneath, beyond, away. I'll find you in the quiet place. I will rest in You. And I often come to this place of just, I avoid it, you know, because I want to kind of shut it all off because I don't want to deal with why I'm feeling a certain way. And yet God's way of helping us through things, he is safe. He's a safe place. And He is a gentle lover who continues to draw us into more freedom. And I journal when those things happen. Like over the last year, that's the first, like, though I've had times where I'm like, okay, you know, like I know His presence is there, but something like that, that's really like a supernatural encounter with Him, it doesn't happen for me very often. You know, like I have them like logged, like things that happen like that. And that's why I know, like, I'm not just somebody that, like, I start praying all of a sudden, I just start laughing, you know, like there are people like that and that's cool, but that's not me. And so I know when those things happen, it's from this deep place that God's like, here, I'm with you.
What were you laughing about?
Just being His. It was just joy. It wasn't laughter at something that was funny. It was just this deep place of joy bubbling up from inside of me, knowing that I was His, and just knowing that that's the most important thing. I'm His and He's mine. And I think there was just this resting and settling in knowing that. And I can't explain like why laughter is what happens, but it, for me, it often takes me to it brings me out of places that feel dark. There was a healing that took place in that. And so I started thinking about joy more and, you know, finding these scriptures and then Aaron asked me yesterday, he's like, you know, what do we want to do like today for service? And I wanted us to go back to our values that we hold and that we've talked about. And so I'm going to pass those around. And for me, my values were, for this last year that I really was focusing on, was love and freedom. So just, if you guys, I'll pass them both ways. This is from Brené Brown. And you'll remember, like, oh, I just gave you one. we'll just pass one around at a time. But for me, I am choosing joy as one of my values. It's something that I'm going to, like, add on to my list. Love is still really important for me. Freedom is something for me as well. But I feel like joy and that thing of grace recognized, knowing who I am in Him, knowing that I am His, whose I am, is really key for me to rest in every single day and remind myself. You know, when my job doesn't feel enjoyable, I can still have joy because I know that I'm His, right? And I think, I love that those expressions that joy was first and that this joy that overflows. And how much does this world really need joy, right? Like real joy, not just circumstantial joy that like, oh, that made me laugh or that was fun, but a deep-rooted joy in Him. Being able to rejoice and being glad in Him. And so with this list that you have, I'm going to give you some time. Maybe they're going to be the same values that you had before. But maybe there's some other words that are speaking to you that before that could be wrapped in there. Now, joy for me, I mean, it fits in love, but I feel like I need it to be a focus of mine this year. These aren't New Year's resolutions of like, I'm going to achieve this and this is a goal. It's how do we start to help ourselves to really look internally and choose what behaviors are going to line up with the values that we have, right? And so one of my values is love, and I really want to love people well. And I know that I didn't do that super well these last few months with my students. And so it's something that I, going into this next year and having a break, a refreshing break, I want to go into it with a different mindset. But my relationship with God is so critical for me every day. And that relationship, that love relationship, is where my joy needs to come from. Right? And there can be happiness and joy from other places, but I need it to come from there on a daily basis, regardless of what's happening in life. And like Aaron's talked about this, like this dualistic mindset, like almost like two things that we have to hold sometimes that don't seem to go together. I can have be sad about something, but still have joy knowing that I'm his. Right? I can rejoice in God being good, even though I have people in my life that are losing loved ones. I can still rejoice that God's good. And it doesn't feel very easy to hold those together, but I believe that it is possible. So, reflecting, you may not remember what you chose. I don't know how long ago it was that we went through this list. You may not remember what you chose, but maybe you do. I know one of yours was health.
Yeah, well-being.
Well-being, that's right. And just in case you had forgotten, but you didn't. Just there. No. Yours, you didn't, sorry, I'm just kidding. Yours just popped into my head. I know that we've gone through this, and maybe you've never used this before, but I want to give you some time to just go through and pick two or three that are really important for you now. For me, joy is one that I'm choosing because it's one that I feel like is often fleeting for me. But it's a value because I want to live out of a place of joy. I want it to not just to have joy, like I want it to overflow. I want to walk into a room and I want to bring light and light up the room. So I'm going to pause this for just a second. So with your list, I'm curious if anybody, like as you went through, if you're like it ended up being the same as before or if anybody's changed. Yeah? I don't know what you just said. So, Nikki? What? I
don't know. No, mine used to be love. And now I feel like it's kindness.
Okay.
But my other ones are the same.
Okay. Who else? Like what? What kind of, did you narrow? Yeah.
Yeah. I decided I'm really good at justice, so we're going to table that.
Okay.
And focus more on vulnerability, but fairness stayed the same.
Okay. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm really good at justice. It could be wrath.
Justice expressed as wrath.
Equally.
Burn them. Okay. What else?
Both of mine changed.
Okay. What do you feel like they are now?
Dignity and spirituality.
Well, okay.
And spirituality.
Mm-hmm. What about yours, Jay?
Mine is joy and legacy, which stay the same. And then the one that changed is wisdom.
Oh,
okay.
Interesting.
Is what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom rocks.
To add on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember what the other one was, but I know it was that.
Yeah.
It's probably like forgiveness or some crap like that.
Anybody else? Meg, what did you have? What three did you have? Yeah, I have five.
Gotta narrow it down.
Okay, what are your five?
Belonging, growth, friendship, family, and success.
Nice. That's awesome. Okay. So.
Are you going to tell us your new ones?
Josh. I did. I shared with. I did. I told you mine.
You did.
It's still love and freedom, and then I'm adding joy.
That's right.
You're right.
Because.
You only have two.
No, two or three.
Megan has three.
Two or three.
I have three now.
So we're not going to take a lot of time right now, but you do have homework. So between now and next Sunday, I want you to try to write down, so on the back of this, write down these questions. And I do want to ask you, because I think it's important as we're starting this new year, if we set these values in front of us, what you need to come up with are, for each one, two behaviors that align with that value. Each value. So two behaviors that align with each value. Just to start thinking. Just to start thinking about it. Like, when would you be, like...
What if I already feel like I already got honesty? So, like, you said, we'll table that one. So then just the two?
But it's not necessarily about, like... What are some, like, no, if honesty is still a value, hold it there. Okay. It doesn't need to be let go because it's something that you do well at. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is with honesty... Uh-huh. Where does that show up in a positive way? When do you have behaviors that align with that? You know, when you're having conversations or whatever. So for me, joy, one of the things that aligns with that it would be, and I need to process a little bit more, but like in the morning, reminding myself every morning that I'm his. That's aligning with joy. So just two behaviors. It doesn't mean like look at your whole day, every behavior that you do that aligns, because a lot of them should be. But what are two specific behaviors that would align with that? Okay. Then what is a slippery behavior, just one, for each one, what's a slippery behavior that doesn't align, I guess is what you could say, but one slippery behavior for each one, yeah. So for me, carrying other people's weight of what they're going on in their lives is a slippery behavior for me because it can take me sometimes into feeling really heavy.
So slippery doesn't mean bad so much as it means like they're...
It's holding you down.
Yeah, it can take you away from that value. Okay. Or it could be a bad behavior, but I think slippery just gives it a little bit more like
It's not
spectrum, mm-hmm. You know?
Sin per se is like something that doesn't align with value.
Right. Me caring for people is awesome. I want to be empathetic, but at the same time, when I start to try to carry it all and I start to feel, and then I start to shut down sometimes, it's not healthy for me. You know, so like trying to carry everybody else's, then I become numb because I just feel overwhelmed. And I can't carry people's. God needs to be the one that carries it. So that's a slippery behavior for me. Being there and present in what people are going through, yes, mm-hmm. but not carrying it myself.
Mm-hmm. So what are your two behaviors that are going to take that out? Because I think that's a tough one for you, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So what do you have too? Have you thought about it?
Behaviors that would be positive for that? I think, like I said, is in the mornings, aligning myself every morning saying, I'm yours.
I thought that was for joy.
That is. And so the other one was slippery behavior was taking away from joy.
Right, was the counter to that.
Exactly. That's one of the ways that I start to give up joy and that value is by carrying other people's things.
But
isn't
empathy on this list?
Right, but all of these values are all good things to live by. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be empathetic. It's just choosing what are a few that I'm going to really start to make sure my behaviors are aligning. Because loving people can have empathy in it. Like, many of these can fit under ones. It's trying to pick these umbrella values that we live out, and we check our behaviors, because sometimes we have these goals, but goals are different. Having values, we start to check our behaviors and how it lines up with those values, and then we can actually see change in our lives.
I'd stepped away when you're talking about limiting and not doing it for each one of these.
Yes, yeah. So it's picking two or three. So often what people will do is go through the list, they'll circle 10 and narrow it down to two or three that they're going to work on, keeping in the forefront of their minds as they live life. So anyway, use, and if you have questions or we come back and we have this and you're like, I'm not sure if I did this, it's not a yes or no in this, and it's not an achieving in this. It's for us to be able to check with each other. So any other questions on that? Okay.
So next Sunday you want to have those?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so we can have some discussions on it, because I think it's really powerful. A lot of people, honestly, like New Year's resolutions do nothing. They don't. They get broken. And having goals get broken, but values are things we want to carry on through our lives. You're not going to let go of honesty. You just might put more attention focusing on the other ones because it's something maybe that isn't there. But honesty is still a value for you. That's important for you. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to let go of those values, but there might be some that are on the forefront that we start to pay attention to more. So now we're going to switch gears just a little bit. And I want to read this to you. I really like this. Part of this I read to my students every year. I told you they're messy.
How old are your students?
Sixth graders. And yeah, and bachelor's students.
Intellectually, that lines up.
Great. So I'm not reading this. I haven't read a lot by Neil Gaiman. People say he's a great author. I don't know much. A lot of movies are based on what he's written. This is not in support of like him. I just love what he wrote in this. So every year I start off with telling my students that I want them to make mistakes. And it comes from this that he wrote. And I really like how he wrote these New Year, my New Year wish. And so he has several of these. I just want to read it out loud to you. And then you can take this with you. It's the bottom part I want to focus on more today. But I think all of it has some really great things for us. It says, may your coming year be filled with magic and dreams and good madness. I hope you read some fine books and kiss someone who thinks you're wonderful. And don't forget to make some art. Write or draw or build or sing or live as only you can. And I hope somewhere in the next year you surprise yourself. So that's something he wrote a decade ago. Almost half a decade ago, I said. I hope you'll have a wonderful year. That you'll dream dangerously and outrageously. That you'll make something that didn't exist before you made it. That you will be loved. And that you will be liked. And that you will have people to love and to like in return. And most importantly, because I think there should be more kindness and more wisdom in the world right now, that you will, when you need to be wise. And that you will always be kind. So now here's his new one for this year. Well, this was written several years ago, but anyway, in his time frame of writing it. And for this year, my wish for each of you is small and very simple. And it's this. I hope that in this year to come, you make mistakes. Because if you're making mistakes, then you are making new things. Trying new things. Learning. Living. Pushing yourself. Changing yourself. Changing your world. You're doing things you've never done before. And more importantly, you're doing something. So that's my wish for you and all of us, and my wish for myself. Make new mistakes. Make glorious, amazing mistakes. Make mistakes nobody's ever made before. Don't freeze. Don't stop. Don't worry if it isn't good enough or if it isn't perfect. Whatever it is, art or love or work or family or life, whatever it is you're scared of doing, do it. Make your mistakes next year and forever. And with that, I love like how he kind of shows like where he's like transitioned from like what he was thinking about, you know, a decade ago, half a decade ago, and now it's to, and I think it's so critical. And I tell my students at the beginning of every school year, I want you to make mistakes this year. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, because that means you're trying things that are hard for you, right? And we are going to fail. My younger brother, Jonathan, he works for Overstock.com, and he's in charge of a team. And one of the things that he's been trying to get into the vocabulary of the company is to talk about failures. Because we learn so much when we fail. And if we're afraid to talk about where we fail, we can't learn from it. And then we're actually afraid to risk, and actually creativity and innovation doesn't happen. And so in all of our lives, we may not be in a company that's like that, but where are we pushing ourselves to the point that we're going to make mistakes doing it? Or are we just playing it safe? And I think that it goes along with these values as well. How are we going to push ourselves in some ways where we might fall down in it, right? So joy is going to be a value, but there might be ways that I fail at it, or I go to an extreme in it and forget to hold something else in that space as well. For me, last year, experiencing emotions is something that I was trying to allow myself to do more last year. And in experiencing emotions, pushing myself in those areas, I made a lot of mistakes. Because some of those emotions came out in very raw ways that hurt people that I had to then fix that with. But I don't want to go back and not experience those emotions or allow myself to be vulnerable and honest. I made some mistakes, but I did fix those mistakes and I learned from them. Right? And so if you are making no mistakes in your life, and I'm speaking this to myself as well, that means that we're not pushing ourselves to try things that we don't know how to do. If everything is safe, if everything is easy, then we are going to just settle, and we're not going to grow. And all of us have a desire to grow. And if that's in, oh my gosh, she's
get it, girl.
She loves them. It is hers now. Nobody, I'm not eating that after. So. My prayer for all of us is that honestly that we make some glorious mistakes this year, that we push ourselves past where we feel like we can achieve. There are things that I've been telling Chaitin, and he keeps checking with me in. And one of the things that I've said for several years now is that I'm going to write a book, and I've been so scared of writing that book, and I'm afraid of messing it up. And it's just honest. I'm afraid that it's not going to turn out right. I'm afraid that it's going to offend people. I'm afraid that people aren't going to take it the right way. I'm afraid they're not going to see my heart. I'm afraid that people could take what I write in the book and be honest about my story and use it against me. Right? There's a lot in there because it's going to be a very honest book, but it's for people to be able to experience freedom, you know, in ways that I have, in ways that I've grown. And so I want to push myself, and I may not finish it. I don't want a goal of I need to finish it at the end of this year. I want to have... Yeah, we can put the lid on. It's okay.
No, we can't.
I don't want the goal that I'm going to finish the book because that may not be attainable. And then I feel like I haven't achieved, right? It's not success. Success for me this next year will be writing something in the book. Working on it. Continuing to put things down on paper. I don't know when it's going to be done. And when I put time frames on myself, I get anxious and then sometimes I quit because I don't feel like I'm going to be able to do it, right? And so I think that's part of those New Year's resolutions and goals. That's different. For me, I want to push myself and do things that I'm afraid to do. Like he says at the end of this, he says, whatever it is you're scared of doing, do it. Make your mistakes next year and forever. You know, right before that, don't freeze, don't stop, don't worry that it isn't good enough or it isn't perfect, whatever it is, art or love or work or family or life. As we push into relationships, we're going to make mistakes in those relationships. You know, my father and I have come so far in our relationship, and we've really gained a lot of understanding about each other. But over this summer, like, we had a huge fight that we had to work through. You know, and I said something that I regretted saying, and then he said stuff that he regretted saying, and it was really hard. But the next day, we chose to sit in that and work through it. And good came from it, but I wish I didn't want it to be that way, but I can't change it because I'm allowing more emotions to be felt, and sometimes that feels really raw for me, and then sometimes it just comes out in frustration or anger or words that I'm like, I wish I could have controlled that, but if I start to try to control it all, I try to control all my emotions, and so I'm in this like flux of like, how do I grow in being more vulnerable with my emotions and feeling them and yet being able to still be in control? It's not like I'm just going and saying everything like and hurting people. But it came out because I was raw with some emotions in that. But good things came from it, and the things that were said, I think, led to a lot of healing. So for you, what are some things that are scaring you that you want to push into and that you're afraid of making mistakes? So for me, a big one is writing this book and just taking some time. I don't know how it's going to look or what's going to be in there, but making some mistakes. That one makes me nervous with her. If she just swallows that, because you can't, it doesn't
That's
dissolve.
That's true. It doesn't. Yeah.
She's got a little bite.
Okay.
She's just
not that I'm like with you. I
yeah, but it
kids
is hard.
Are like dogs.
Yeah.
They know
is
what
it,
they can
is
eat.
Is it good? Look at all those teeth.
I know
not
they can.
Necessarily.
They can get slippery. It's like
dogs are kids.
She was just getting
kids.
I know.
She'll like sog it up before.
I've just seen some with candy that slips down the throat. But sorry.
Yeah.
Just working with kids, I get.
Yeah,
I get,
no CPR yet, right?
Oh, wait. Our
paralyzed.
Grandson will do.
You're good.
Yeah. Anyway, so, he's a year, about the ridge.
So in that, like for all of us, and I talked about this last year, and I think it's not that like did we achieve? Did we arrive? Are we where we wanted to be? It's not about that. Did we grow? In what ways did we grow? And in what ways last year did we make mistakes that we learned from?
She is smart. She gets
yep.
The hard little piece of
that.
She's a professional.
In what ways did we make mistakes that we can learn from and grow in? And me sharing that, like, with me, some of the mistakes was being raw with those emotions. Though that's something I want, it's something that I made some mistakes in as well, and I want to learn through. Another thing, and this is a simple one, but just to kind of give you some examples to be thinking of, but in pottery, I tend to start creating, the same things that I'm like, okay, I know how to do that. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try something new. My sister had mentioned something about a cookie jar. I was like, I've never tried to make a cookie jar. This is a teeny one, but I'm talking like a big like cookie jar. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a cookie jar. And so I made the bottom, and I made the lid, and then I made some handles for the lids, you know, like this. Like connecting this to here and all that. And I went, and I fired them all in the first firing before you put on glaze, and both lids popped off. The handles just like
turned the handle.
Well, you can't fix it once that's done. So now I'm trying to make lids that fit in something that's already shrunk, and so I've got to figure out measurements for new lids. Anyway, now it's like this little like fiasco, and then I tried to make some new lids, and they ended up being too small. So I'm like trying things, and in the past it would have been something like, gosh, I'm frustrated, I'm giving up. I'm like, no, okay, if I have to, I might just start over fresh and start the thing again. But I learned because I want to push myself, and that's just in a little way, but I want to get better at pottery. That's one of the things that I really love doing, but I want to push myself into things that may not work out. Because if I have to keep every piece that I make, then I'm going to play it safe, and I'm not going to risk. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, and that's just an area in my life, like, I want to get better at it. It's an art form that I love, and so I want to push myself in that. So, for those of you on the interwebs, you know, be thinking. We're going to keep discussing next week about things for us to push ourselves in, and setting our values and some behaviors that align with them, and some slippy ones. Yay.